There are several now famous photographs from the war in Vietnam that have helped create our collective memory of the war, such as the picture of the young Vietnamese girl running naked, her clothes burned off by napalm. Doug Niven has found the photos from the other side, pictures taken by North Vietnamese photographers. With a couple of exceptions, these are pictures that haven't been seen before in America. Most of these photos were never even published in North Vietnam. Nixon made 16 trips to Vietnam to find photographers and photo archives. The pictures he collected are now on exhibit at the International Center of Photography in New York, and they're collected in the new book, Another Vietnam, Pictures of the War from the Other Side. Niven is a photojournalist who worked in Cambodia from 1992 to 1995. One of the most interesting photos, I think, in your book is one that was never published. It's a 1970 photo of a makeshift operating room that's actually in the middle of a swamp. It's not really a room, it's just outdoors in the middle of a swamp. Would you describe the photo?
Sure. There's a few doctors in their smocks and with their mouths covered, and they're in a kind of a tent canopy, which is a mosquito net, and a patient with a very serious head wound is being carried in to be operated on in this, right in the middle of a swamp. It's really an incredible picture.
And the person bringing in the stretcher and the doctors and nurses, they're all standing in water above their ankles.
Yeah, I mean, they really had to work in very difficult conditions. And the interesting thing about this picture to me was the fact that the photographer never printed that himself. He didn't think this was particularly remarkable. So when I first saw that picture, I saw it in a very small size. I just looked at it, and the whole picture just opened up. It was a whole story inside that picture.
Who is the photographer?
His name's Vo An Khang, and he lives way down south in the farthest tip of the southern peninsula in Vietnam. And he never really worked for anybody. He kind of took pictures during the war almost as a hobby. So he really had this very interesting collection of pictures.
What else was in the collection?
It was mostly pictures of Viet Cong and the challenges they faced, the difficulties families had. They had to live in mangrove swamps because they were trying to hide from American bombing.
What motivated him to take these photos if they weren't being published?
Well, what was interesting about him was in the 50s, in the late 50s, his family had a photo business. They had a photo shop in Bac Lieu, which is in southern part of Vietnam. And when the war came to their village in 1960, they had to close up shop. And he just he felt a sense of purpose that he just had to take pictures of what was happening. It was just such a disgrace to his morals that the business was destroyed, that their village was being attacked, and that everything they had to go through. So he just felt a real sense that he had to capture this particular moment in time.
Another photo that you reprint in your book is it's a picture of the downed U.S. Navy pilot Robert Shoemaker being walked by militiamen after they've captured him. This is a very upsetting photo to American eyes. How was this photo used in North Vietnam?
Well, what's interesting is the way that picture is printed in the book, you can actually see the full frame, and on that frame you can see some slight marks, and those were the cropping marks that the photographer wanted, how the picture to be cropped. So he wanted that picture just to be shown with that one militiaman and the American pilot, Robert Shoemaker, when in fact there was this larger group. So that's how they wanted the picture to be seen, and it was kind of like a trophy picture, really, showing that they'd captured this American pilot, and they love to have very small soldiers with guns standing next to very big American pilots. It made them feel proud and strong when they saw pictures like that.
So they wanted to crop just one-on-one so that this one North Vietnamese soldier would seem so much stronger and braver?
I think so. And I actually think the more interesting picture is the full frame because it shows you the surroundings, and it gives you an idea of what the conditions were like that day, because he'd been shot down half an hour before that picture was taken.
Were a lot of the photos that you found propaganda photos where the people are actually posed?
Oh, there's lots of pictures like that, and the Vietnamese love to put those down on the table to show me those first. They seem to like those pictures the most, but I have a real aversion to that type of picture, and in the end, I also thought it was important to include a few of those in the book because it's part of the story. But yeah, they really like the the propaganda picture, but I think they don't resonate very well, and they don't stand up to time very well either.
Did you come across any photographers who prided themselves on the fact that they took unposed shots and that they were where the action was?
Oh, sure. There's a few photographers that fit that billing. One photographer was the Army photographer, and he has a lot of pictures in the book. His name's Doan Kong Ting. And his nickname by his friends was the King of the Battlefield. And in the middle of battles, he would stand up and take pictures. And when he was a young photographer, he'd heard this famous quote from Robert Capa saying, if the picture's not good enough, you got to get closer to the picture. So he'd stand right up in the middle of battles with a 50-millimeter lens and shoot pictures.
It's interesting that he would be inspired by this comment from an American photographer while his people were fighting the Americans.
Yeah, and also don't forget that Robert Capa was killed in North Vietnam in the early 50s during the French period.
Good point. Did you find any pictures taken in the tunnels, like the Cu Chi tunnels, where North Vietnamese soldiers lived and worked out of the sight of American soldiers?
Yeah, there's one picture in the book of the actual digging of these tunnels. There's also another picture in the book. There was a very similar tunnel complex up north, right just north of the DMZ in a place called Vin Loc. And that was a big tunnel complex too. So that was a very important part of the war for them. And pictures inside that really showed the difficulties for the Vietnamese well.
Did the photographers talk at all about the difficulty of photographing from within the tunnels without any natural light?
Yeah, in fact, one photographer had a very novel way to shoot pictures inside these tunnels. None of them really had a flash, so what he did was he emptied a bullet and gathered the gunpowder, and he lit the gunpowder and so it would flash, and he has this wonderful picture of some women singing inside one of the tunnels, just lit with gunpowder from a bullet.
What were some of the other technical problems that these photographers were up against?
Well, one of the most incredible things for me was hearing their stories about being trained in Hanoi for 6 months, and they had very extensive training. They were instructed to strip apart cameras in the dark, and they had very good training. And then when their training was finished, they were given a camera, usually with just one lens, like I said, and then they were sent down the Ho Chi Minh Trail for 3 months. And right as they were sent, just before they were sent on this long trip, they were given two rolls of film.
Well, you have to make every shot count if you're doing that.
They did, and often I would look on their rolls of film and I would see one picture, and the next picture was taken several hundred miles away, and the next picture was several hundred miles away from that. So they really had to make each picture count.
The photographers you were talking about who were told to, you know, take two rolls of film and then come back, were these people who were on assignment from the state?
Yeah, those guys were state photographers working for the government news agency, and their pictures were generally used in a few official publications.
So did these photographers have to go after more, like only photos that made the North Vietnamese look victorious?
Yeah, typically I think those photographers took some of the least interesting stuff, to be honest. Their pictures were very much geared for this propaganda element. The really interesting pictures were taken by the Army photographer and by another photographer in the North who specifically focused on daily life in the North during the war. And he just had very beautiful pictures of very natural scenes of what life looked like during that wartime.
One of the photographers who you spoke with had been the official photographer for Ho Chi Minh. How did he get that position?
Actually, he's still alive, too. He's a really interesting guy. He was a young peasant from really far out in the sticks in the north. And during the 40s, just following World War II, he was hanging out with the young revolutionaries, Ho Chi Minh being one of them. And he was asked to take pictures of them. And it was as simple as that. And after that, he became Ho Chi Minh's personal photographer. And during the war, too, he traveled down the Ho Chi Minh Trail and did a long story on on the Ho Chi Minh Trail, which in the end, he lost 100 rolls of film. He lost everything. He 6 months of work during a bombing, and he has a very vivid description of seeing all his film strung up in all the trees, hanging from the branches in little strips.
Would we recognize any of the photos he took of Ho Chi Minh?
Well, there's a very famous picture he took of Ho Chi Minh sitting at a desk outside signing letters. I think that's one of the real icons from Vietnam, and this is one of his pictures.
One of the last photos in your book is taken on the outskirts of Saigon on April 30th, 1975, and there's just like dozens of combat boots in the street. Would you describe the photo and what's happening?
Well, this is like a state, the National Highway 1 out of Saigon, and it's just littered with army boots and uniforms. The South Vietnamese soldiers that were there on April 30th, 1975, as soon as they heard that North Vietnamese were invading the town, Saigon, they just stripped off their uniforms and took off their boots as quickly as they could, because if they had been caught wearing those, they'd be likely shot or punished. So it's just an incredible scene of this highway just littered with boots and uniforms.
Who took the photo?
A guy named Zhuang Tang Fong. And he was the Koo Chi tunnel photographer as well. And he didn't have a lot of pictures, but the few pictures he did have were very good.
What kind of condition were most of the photos in when you found them?
Actually, a real variety of conditions. Some of the negatives were in absolute pristine shape. The photographer kept the film, and still keeps the film, in an old American ammunition case. Inside he has roasted rice, which keeps the humidity out, and he buries this box underground, and this is what he did during the war, too. And his negatives look like they were made yesterday. They're so perfect. Another photographer, this army photographer, his negatives were in terrible shape. He brought me bags, plastic bags full of film that he'd kept in his bathroom, right under the bathroom sink. And I had to go through these bags of film and hold the film up to light and look at these very dusty, moldy pieces of film that were just falling apart. So we had from excellent to terrible.
Were you able to use any of those moldy films?
Yeah, it's amazing what you can actually do with film like that. You can clean the film, you can flatten it, you can straighten it out, and sometimes you see the marks of the pictures. Some of the pictures in the book have marks like this, but I don't think it hurts the image itself.
For the photographers who weren't working for the state and were just working for themselves, how would they develop their film?
These guys would wake up at 2 or 3 in the morning, camped out along the side of the Ho Chi Minh Trail, and they carried a little tea saucer in their backpack, and they would mix the chemistry by hand with water from a stream, and they would process the roll of film in the dark of the night, and they joked about it, saying they had the world's biggest dark room, and they would process their film under the stars, and in the middle of the night when it was quiet, and they would wash the film in the stream. And in the morning, they'd have their finished pictures.
Doug Niven is the co-editor of the new book, Another Vietnam, Pictures of the War from the Other Side. Those photos are also in the current exhibition at the International Center of Photography in Manhattan. This is Fresh Air.